Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, today is Thursday, February 17th, 2022. It's called National Random Kindness Day. And the guy driving 70 miles an hour on Alvernon who cut me off on the way to the station today didn't get the message, I guess.
It was not a random act of kindness?
No way. Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Are you going to forgive him anyway?
Of course, of course. But it is the Wild West on the streets of Tucson and Pima County for sure. The Buckmaster Show, we're now in year 12 here with the radio program, 34th year on TV and radio in this particular market. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from Green Things, Zocalo Village. That is our studio sponsor. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are really easy to remember, folks. KVOI, like The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That means if you're anywhere near a computer, anywhere in the world, you can tune in live, and we take the feed from KVOI.com. Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line without further ado. Pima County Supervisor, Democrat, representing District Number 1, Rex Scott is with us on the live line. Supervisor Scott, how is your week going so far?
Bill, it's going really well, and I hope the same is true for you and Tom.
Well, thank you very much. This meeting on Tuesday, there was a lot of news that came out of the Pima County Supervisors meeting. I want to get right into it. The mask mandate for Pima County will be allowed to expire on February 28th. Supervisor Scott, you voted with the majority in the 3-2 vote to end the mask mandate and not go along with a month-long extension. Is that wise, considering we have 300 to 400 cases still daily here in Pima County?
Bill, when we voted, when the previous board majority back in December voted to put a mandate in place and have it extend until the end of February, I voted against it at that time. And the reason that I did is because I felt that everybody in the community, including me, who believes in the need to wear masks in congregate settings, was already doing so. And I didn't think that those who aren't or weren't going to be wearing masks were going to be persuaded by Pima County telling them that they needed to do so. My other concern was that the enforcement for that would be left in the hands of our frontline service workers, and given the politicization of mask wearing, I didn't want them to bear the brunt of having to deal with that. And then I had further concerns when we were discussing it back in December about the fact that the proponents and also the staff members were saying, well, this is more an advisory. We're not really going to be enforcing it. And so one of the things that I said on Tuesday when I voted not to extend it was that if we're going to be putting mandates in place and not enforcing them, that makes the county look like a paper tiger. And in the future, if there are public health mandates that we have to put in place because of some kind of emergency, people are going to remember that we had a so-called mandate in place and chose not to enforce it. So that's why I voted the way that I did on Tuesday, but it shouldn't be interpreted as being in opposition to wearing masks in congregate settings, which is still the advice of the Centers for Disease Control.
Will the mask be required in Pima County-owned facilities?
They are, and that's not a decision of the board. That was an administrative procedure that was put in by the county administrator quite some time ago, even before December. So that administrative procedure is going to remain in place per the acting county administrator.
Have you met at all in the past 2 years with your colleagues in a session that was not Zoom, Supervisor Scott?
Well, I've only been in office since January of 2021, so it's just been a little over a year since I took office. Same for Supervisors Grijalva and Hines, and no, the three of us have never been able to participate in a live meeting. I have voted every time it's come up for us to go into live meetings. I believe that we have sufficient safeguards through that administrative procedure that requires masks to be worn in county buildings for us to be meeting in person. But the board as a whole has not been able to come to consensus on that matter, which is why we continue to meet virtually.
Well, you know, 2 years of COVID years is like an eternity, I'll tell you. It seems like you and the others, and I actually made the same mistake when I interviewed Pima County Assessor Suzanne Drewby here on the show this week. I said that, how are your first 2 years in office going? So I'll tell you, Rex Scott, 1 year feels like two anyway to me and a lot of people.
Well, and for people like Suzanne and myself and everybody who was on the ballot in 2020, we had to conduct our campaigns during the pandemic, during some of the worst times of the pandemic, and a lot of the campaign events that we had were conducted virtually, and we couldn't do in-person campaigning. So there was mostly literature drops and posting of those signs on roadways that everybody loves so much. And getting in front of people is something that all of us have been missing through our campaigns and during our first year in office.
And so the timetable is still open on when you all will get back together?
Yes, it has not. It was not discussed at our meeting on Tuesday, and I'm not sure when it will be brought up again.
The Old Tucson, very popular attraction, Old Tucson Western themed attraction that been the home for filming, let's see, more than 400 feature films and TV shows. Old Tucson pretty much has been closed down for the 2 year period of the pandemic, basically closed because the owners said that was enough. So I understand there is a new buyer for Old Tucson. The buyer has not been disclosed, but what can you tell us about getting this attraction, Rex Scott, back up and running again?
Not much more than what you just said, Bill, because as you say, the buyer has not been disclosed either to the public or the board. But I do know, as was detailed in a memorandum to the board from the acting county administrator, that the process for soliciting vendors was extensive and involved a lot of review, not just by county staff, but interested members of the community. So I'm as eager as everybody else is to hear about who the buyer is and what we can expect out at Old Tucson.
And Pima County owns the land for the park west of Tucson, and it leases it to the Old Tucson, whoever that buyer is going to be for the attraction. So Pima County does have quite a stake in this, and really that lease agreement, Rex Scott, goes back to almost the last time there was another Democrat in District 1, 1973. So, I mean, Pima County's had a big stake in this. And I know as we try to build up our attractions again, the county is working with Visit Tucson, and I want to put a plug in, Rex, because we will have the new head of Visit Tucson, Felipe Garcia. Felipe was the internal candidate. I'm so glad that he won the top job there. He'll be my Friday Focus interview tomorrow. So anything we can do to really beef up our attractions, especially as we come out of the pandemic, is good news, I think.
I agree, and Felipe is doing an outstanding job. He was the obvious choice for that position, given his prior service, and he's been making the rounds. He came in and did a briefing for the District 1 staff that we really appreciated, and he offered to come in every quarter to talk with us, and he is a terrific cheerleader for our area and all of its attractions and interests, and he's also a very hard worker.
All right, we're going to pause right here with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Rex, you know what I want to talk about right now, don't you?
My salivary glands are anticipating it, Bill.
Oh, man, could we all use some comfort food right about now from Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They had a wonderful Valentine's Day on the heels of a great holiday season. They're always available for you with wonderful pastries. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, open for breakfast at 6:30. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. So, Rex Scott, they are right there in the heart of your district, District Number 1.
Very proud of that.
Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Some beautiful pictures on the website. If you're thinking, well, gee, what about the breakfast menu? Well, they've got beautiful illustrations and photographs of all of the menu items. So then when you go in, you won't have to spend a lot of time deliberating about what you want, and it is sometimes very hard to decide. Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be back with Rex Scott after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our monthly visit with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, a Democrat representing District 1, continues now, and calling us on the live line is caller David, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. David, you're with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if you could clarify the difference between the operator and the buyer. As a buyer, what does the buyer get? Does Pima County retain the land and they get the improvements? What's the deal?
Okay. Supervisor Scott, do you have any details on that?
David, thank you for your question. As we said during the first segment, we are still waiting to hear who the buyer is and what their exact role is going to be on the property. But as Bill indicated, the county does own the land that Old Tucson is located on.
All right. So hopefully we'll get more details on the buyer very soon. The roads debate concerning the Regional Transportation Authority has taken a welcome turn. We had General Maxwell, who is the representative for the Arizona Department of Transportation, on the Regional Transportation Authority board, nine-member board. And he was with us last week, and it looks pretty encouraging. Would you agree, Supervisor Scott?
I absolutely would agree, Bill. And I walked into that meeting not feeling very optimistic about achieving consensus and sharing some good news with the decisions that we make with the voters of Pima County, but General Maxwell did a tremendous job of putting together a compromise proposal that gave the city of Tucson additional voice and representation on some key committees. He incorporated into his compromise proposal a proposal that I had made several months ago to base the membership of the Citizens Advisory Committee that will craft the RTA next plan on population. And that gave the city another example of additional voice in the process. And I want to not just commend General Maxwell, but all of my colleagues on the RTA board for recognizing that, again, there is so much more that we can do together than any of us can do individually. And the fact that all of us were able to come together and agree on that proposal is the best possible sign that we could give to the voters that we are moving forward not only with the successful completion of the current RTA plan, but also, most importantly, with the development of a new RTA plan that will go before the voters shortly. So I couldn't be happier and couldn't be more grateful to all eight of my colleagues on that board.
The city of Tucson voters will be asked to extend the five-year tax increase that expires June 30th. I believe it's going to be called Proposition 411 will be the ballot issue that Tucson voters will be asked to consider in May, extending the half-cent sales tax. Does that in any way impact RTA Next?
I think that what I heard from the mayor and the members of city council was that they had significant concerns about letting their sales tax lapse, as you indicated that it will this year. And so they felt that if they had local needs specific to roads that are solely their responsibility, that they needed to put that on the ballot this year. But what I also heard them say is that they're all in on RTA Next. So I expect that they're not only going to be asking their voters to approve Prop 411 this year, but that they'll also be working with all the rest of us on the RTA board to ask all of our voters, including those in the city of Tucson, to support the RTA Next program. It's important to point out that every one of the jurisdictions has local roads that they're responsible for. The county does, the city does, the smaller jurisdictions do. And we all need to take our own measures to take care of our local roads. But what the RTA is going to be dealing with is not just roads, but other transportation needs that cross jurisdictional lines.
When do you think we'll get our first glimpse at what might be on the ballot for the RTA Next? When will those meetings begin, the outreach meetings, to let people have their say?
Well, one of the other things that we did at our January 27th meeting, besides passing General Maxwell's compromise proposal, was we brought the Citizens Advisory Committee back up to its full complement of 35. So they are ready to begin meeting as a full group. There are 13 new members and 22 members who asked to continue from the former Citizens Advisory Committee. And so those 35 people are ready to get to work. And I expect that as soon as they are done with their work, that's when we'll start having the public meetings where the public can express their views about the draft plan. And then the Citizens Advisory Committee will make revisions based on public input. And ultimately, it is the RTA board's decision to approve the plan and put it on the ballot for the voters' ultimate approval.
One of the important things coming out of the meeting Tuesday, you and your colleagues voted 4-1 for Pima County to join 11 other Arizona counties using vote centers. These vote centers will be available this August and November, August for the primary and November for the general. Can you explain generally what these centers are about?
I can, absolutely. Currently, and we expect this to be the case this year as well, at least 7 out of every 10 Pima County voters, just like the majority of voters across Arizona, continue to express their preference for voting by mail. And even though 87% of Pima County voters voted by mail in 2020, that was an extraordinarily high number, and we know that the pandemic affected that number being so high. Recent elections indicate that most likely it'll be in the 70% range, the number of voters who continue to vote their ballot by mail. For the remaining number who choose to vote in person, what they won't have to do anymore is go is just choose from one single place to vote. They will be able to vote at any one of the vote centers that are going to be throughout Pima County. And if it's a vote center close to their home or on their way to work or on their way to school or on their way to some recreational endeavor, they can vote anywhere because we're going to be using, and the 11 counties that already do vote centers and have been doing them for many years do this as well. We're going to be using what are known as ballot on demand printers. And so you'll show up at a vote center, you'll present your ID. After your identity is verified, a ballot specific to the issues and candidates that you can vote on will be printed. And it's important to point out these are still paper ballots, just like the all the other counties. We're going to be moving to what are known as e-poll books to check voters in and verify their identities. As I said, every other county in Arizona already uses those e-poll books, but people are still going to be voting a paper ballot, whether they vote in person on election day or at one of the early voting locations, or if they vote by mail.
This really,
and we think.
Really, this is a convenience, because these centers will be on the way, as you say, to maybe somebody a recreation endeavor or on the way to work. They're going to make this a lot easier to vote on election day.
Absolutely, and that's been the experience of the 11 counties that have been making use of vote centers for a long time. But it's important to point out that there's still one decision that the board has to make. We are going to get a list from the Elections Division, and the Elections Division is under the county administrator. And the Elections Division will bring to the board a list that shows not just the number of vote centers, but also their locations. And we, during Tuesday's meeting, asked the Elections Division staff to look at a whole array of factors in determining not just the number of vote centers, but also their locations, because that is going to be the first step in reassuring voters that this new way of voting in person in Pima County is not only going to be easy and accessible for them, but also safe and secure.
All right, Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor, thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks.
Bill, thank you, and my regards to my friend and former superintendent, Bob Hendricks, who I understand is going to be your next guest. I'll be eager to hear his interview.
He's up next.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. And by the way, if you're looking for a great employer, the Help Wanted sign is out at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They have a variety of positions that are available. And Jan and Jack, the owners, say that they request that you just show up over at the site and go from there. They're located by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site and would be a terrific place to work, especially if you're very much into gardening and horticulture. I think you would be very much at home over there. It's also home of Zocalo Village, the great merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and Zocalo, that's Z-O-C-A-L-O, village.com. Green Things in their 51st year, and they are open daily. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education is Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the U of A College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks is also a former Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. He's the vice chair of the Interfaith Community Services, a Tucson-based organization which is comprised of over 120 faith communities, and they help out a lot of people in crisis with food assistance, housing, employment, and health care. Bob Hendricks, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, Bill, and yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. We had Dustin Williams on the program yesterday to just kind of get an overview from him, because his portfolio, as you know, Bob, covers pretty much all the districts, school districts in Pima County, and all the schools. And I just wondered how things were looking as far as, you know, our teachers calling in less because of COVID. And he says things are starting to calm down a little bit, but he says this is really the tip of the iceberg for the crisis involving teacher shortages.
I couldn't agree more, Bill. I mean, this is a serious problem, and I'm not a person who tends to cry wolf, but honestly, the issue of teacher shortages, I think, is going to continue with us. We're obviously going to have to do something to address the problem, not only locally, but I think nationally as well. There's really two issues. One is, how do you recruit teachers? And the second issue is, how do you retain them? So the one is getting them in the door in the first place, and the other one is keeping them in your district. And those are related, but they're really two separate issues. And I like to start with recruitment, because districts are really struggling to find new employees for their district. We're seeing a trend across the country that colleges of education are preparing fewer and fewer people for the profession. Young people are looking elsewhere. The idea of social service is maybe a passing or alluring thought to them, but they don't see their future as a long-term member of the teaching profession. And so that's a difficult thing. The other thing that's really difficult for us here in Arizona is that our salaries continue to be in the top quartile, or rather the lowest quartile of school districts in states across the country. So we're in the bottom 10 of the states. And I know there's been some
efforts. So there's 40 other states that you can get a better pay deal.
You can. And, you know, we're in an environment now where someone looking for a job can very, very easily look on the internet and do a comparison of what you're going to start.
Within minutes, they can tell.
Exactly, exactly. And teachers are looking for a place to start with a reasonable salary. Mm-hmm. Many people in the profession are coming out of 4 years of college that has been expensive. They're starting to crunch the numbers and saying, well, you know, what is the payback going to be? besides my social commitment. You know, I know I'm going to have a family or I'm going to have other obligations, and how am I going to handle those? And what I always raise as a question with teachers is, you know, a young person entering the profession, you know, the beginning salary looks very attractive, but ask yourself a question, in 10 years, where will you be?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very easy for a school district to provide you, maybe reluctantly, a schedule of where you're going to be in 10 years, and it's not that much different.
And that is very discouraging. Let me go back. You said the recruitment of teachers. Now, what about, and you've spent a lot of time through in the educational, higher education level. What about, Bob Hendricks, the recruitment of even getting these young people, presumably young, to take the first step to even apply to, like, the University of Arizona to become a teacher? It's got to start, I would think, at a pretty early age.
Right. One of the roadblocks or one of the obstacles is certification.
Okay.
Because to teach in the state of Arizona,
yeah,
and I would say that there would be some kind of comparable requirement in any state, you must be certified. That's normally a 2 to 3 year process. And so some districts have looked at ways to fast track that mm-hmm. certification so that it's less labor intensive, that it's less costly, and that has helped. There are organizations who have created alternative paths to getting certified. The thing about certification, here's another roadblock, Bill, is that if I begin my career in Arizona and I want to move to California
yes.
to teach,
right.
there is no reciprocity. In other words, my certificate in Arizona
what?
Is
you,
not valid in California.
You have to start over again.
There's a different set of requirements. And so if you're a beginning teacher, you have to think very, very carefully, where do I want to set my path? And do I want to stay in Arizona? Now, I can move from Tucson Unified to Mesa, and I can keep the same certificate. I'm not going to have any problem doing
interstate
that.
Interstate is not an issue.
No, intrastate, but interstate is. Mm. So there is no nationally recognized certificate. Another issue, another obstacle is that is tenure. And we talk a lot about how do teachers gain tenure, and in the state of Arizona, you have to have 3 successful years of teaching in your district.
Mm.
Now, if I move to another district, mm-hmm. the clock starts again.
Wow.
And if I move to another state, there may be completely different tenure requirements.
Those are all roadblocks to upward mobility within education.
Well, yeah, they are. And, you know, I'm thinking about looking at the teaching profession compared to other business enterprises. Another big obstacle are benefits. Now, the Arizona State Retirement System is a very healthy, very strong system. And teachers, again, intrastate, can move from district to district and take their benefits with them. If they move to another state, they have to park their benefits here or accept a payout, which is considerably less. And if they go to another state, then they start a new benefit package. And so there are all these things that are thrown out here. I'm a young person looking at all these things saying, where do I really want to start? Where do I really want to stay? And these are things that are outside
that
the control of the school
know
district.
At 21 years old.
You don't know.
Where do you,
no,
do
you
I
don't.
Want to like spend the rest of my life in Arizona or New Mexico or California?
Correct.
You don't know.
No, you don't know.
Yeah. Why don't we pause right here with Bob Hendricks? We'll be back talking about this teacher shortage. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North Lock and Yada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Weather looks really good over in Silver City. Our great sponsor, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, would be a perfect time to take that three-hour road trip, perfect time of year to do hiking. It may be winter here in the Southwest, but if you like to get out and hike, like in the Gila National Wilderness or up at the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, it's a great time of year to do it. I would suggest Southwest New Mexico, just spelled out, .org is a great starting place. You'll find so much to do over there and some great places to stay. We send so many of our listeners over there, and they all come back and they say, you know, I had no idea, I'd never been over there, and I had a great time. We continue now with Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is the Buckmaster contributor on education, longtime educator here in Arizona and in Tucson. We've been talking about this serious situation developing with the teacher shortage. And right now, the way the legislature is, it just doesn't feel education friendly in Arizona. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think you're right. And again, looking at the teaching profession, and if you're thinking about joining the profession or you're in the profession, the vibes are not good.
No, they're not.
No. You get a sense that the legislature, and you know, I'm talking about the legislature collectively, because there certainly are some very good representatives who support education, but the legislature as a whole have not been particularly helpful. In fact, I remember one time a member of the House telling me that teachers in Arizona really don't need to be paid quite as much because they've got the sunshine as a benefit. I'm thinking,
Come on, sell the sunshine.
That's an intangible that I don't think is going to put food on the table.
No.
And so you think about the pushback from the legislature. You know, we had this, and maybe we still have this wonderful opportunity to gain a large chunk of money from the proposition that was passed by the voters to tax the most wealthy residents in Arizona. But, you know, there have been groups that have been challenging that, and that's going to be in the courts for decide. But, you know, that's, I think, a hopeful incentive the teachers had that there would be a major boost to salaries, at least get them out of that bottom 10.
But this
maybe
is being
into
held up.
A medium, median level.
It's being held up by several lawmakers, and the deadline for this extension is next week, or let's see, March 1st. Yeah, March 1st is the deadline. I wonder if it's tied into this whole thing that some lawmakers think the only education they really like are school vouchers.
I think so, but you know, don't think for a minute that the teaching profession is just being depleted in public schools. It is a nationwide, school-wide problem. And I have friends who work in private schools. They're having the same kinds of issues, not only in terms of recruiting people to work, but retaining them and recruiting quality people. We don't want just a body in the classroom. We want someone who's qualified, one who has the substantive knowledge to impart to people that are learning, to young people. And for us to just simply have a situation where we're bringing people in to fill seats is just not, doesn't make sense.
All right. I want to go to our live line. And Bob, if you would slip your headset.
Sure.
Headset on there, so we'll be able to hear what Roberta has to say. Called us at 790-2040. She called on our live line, which is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And your volume, is that all set there for you, Bob?
I believe it is.
Okay, Roberta, go ahead.
Morning, Roberta.
Good afternoon. I just have a real quick question. I mean, I keep hearing, and I'm believe that Arizona teachers are in the bottom 10% of or whatever of being of pay. But can you tell me, do you know what a starting teacher salary is in the state of Arizona?
Well, I can give you an average because in the state of Arizona, there is not a statewide figure. Every school district begins their own salary schedule. The salaries within across districts in the state, there's probably not a huge discernible difference, maybe $500 to $700 difference. But salaries tend to begin in the $30,000 range.
Roberta, are you still with us?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm just thinking that's great. I like that answer because I always hear hear how low paid they are, but I had no idea what the starting salary was. So you think on average probably $30,000 a year?
Yeah, in the 30,000 range, probably a little bit higher than that. As again, it's going to be different from district to district. And as I mentioned to Bill earlier, another number to look at is that 10-year out number to see, you know, what does it really look like if a teacher has invested 10 years in the district? And honestly, it's the number is not that much different unless teachers spend more time investing in additional education and if they have continuing hours of advancement and so forth. But not a huge advancement opportunity. So to crystal ball that for a teacher, it's a little discouraging.
All right. Thank you, Roberta.
So you don't have an average number for that 10 years out.
What would you think, Bob, for the 10-year out?
I would be surprised, Bill, if it was more than $4,000.
Huh, $4,000.
Yeah.
So say
so
somebody.
34.
Yeah,
okay.
So somebody.
All right.
Thanks, Roberta. So they come in at maybe 30, maybe they get up to 34, 35 after 10 years. That is not very good. Now, we should point out, is that contract, Bob Hendricks, is that a 9-year deal, a 9-month contract?
It's a 9-month contract. And, you know, some people would argue that, well, teachers are only paid, you know, for 9 months of service, and
they
the other 3 months they can do whatever they want.
Side gig or something.
A lot of those teachers are going back to school to get additional preparation to increase their salaries. And there have been some arguments that that maybe the school year should be longer, and I wouldn't disagree with that. I wouldn't. I would say that some states have increased the number of school days, but again, there has to be a reasonable correlation to extra compensation for that. So there are districts that have gone to 10 months, 10 and a half months, but not in the state of Arizona. The one thing that's consistent in the state of Arizona is that every teacher contract is the exact same number of days.
Mm. Okay. On our list here, we had a bunch of topics. I've got about 2 minutes left with you. Do you want to make a quick comment about shorter SATs now?
That's really
they're
sort of
be
an interesting,
online. You're
an
not
interesting
gonna,
thing.
I can
you
remember
know,
I was sweating bullets and going to take those tests, making sure my pencils were sharpened as I sat down to take the SAT, but now you do it online.
Guess what? There'll be no more pencils, Bill.
Wow.
The SAT is going to go digital by 2014.
Wow.
And they're actually going to shorten the test from 3 hours to 2 hours.
Hmm.
And you still have to be proctored.
Uh-huh.
So you need to bring a laptop, or they'll provide you a laptop. Uh-huh. So it's got to either be at a school center or a testing center. And the reading sections are going to be shorter, but they're going to be more relevant to the kind of material that you might be reading in college. Another change, big change, is in the math section, students will be able to use calculators.
What?
Has never been able to do that before.
Oh, my.
That's what the real world looks like.
Yeah.
They don't expect you to sort of figure it out in your head anymore. Good thing is that the scores will be returned in just a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And so students don't have to wait around for a couple of weeks to get the results. And critics are saying, you know, it's the SAT or the ACT is still not very fair because it benefits or advantages wealthier students because they can go into test prep programs or that they can have access to better schools. But the other thing, and the last thing I'll say, is that, you know, the SAT and the ACT might be a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Because many colleges and universities, including all of our state universities in Arizona, no longer requirement. It's an option.
Oh,
you can
goodness.
Submit your score if you want. If it's a good score, if I were a student, I would submit it.
Yeah.
If it's not so good, I wouldn't submit it.
So
it's
really
up to the student.
The value has really diminished.
It has changed significantly.
All right. Bob Hendricks, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And that will do it for our show today. We have Dave Ramsey, his very popular show on money, coming up. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks, Bill Buckmaster, and Tom Fairbanks, saying have a great afternoon, everybody.